Okay, we are out on White Ave today, and since Christmas season is the time for peace, we're asking people if they have ever experienced peace in their life and when.
I don't think so, no.
I can think of a couple things, but maybe not on air.
yes. I don't know when.
Peace. What kind of peace do you mean?
Define peace. Inner peace? Environmental peace?
When I'm at home with my wife?
You know what? The beach makes me feel peaceful.
Just before bed. Going to bed. When I'm sleeping.
When I'm sitting at home. On the couch on my own.
I suppose as a child.
I guess with my family.
Backstage when the show's over.
Probably when I was a kid.
Yes, I have. I have. Traveling. Away from all the problems. Hiding them almost. But yes, I have. For a brief moment, it's not really like there's peace everywhere, so.
I don't even remember one time.
When I'm doing my addiction, that's hunting and fishing. I'm an AT hunter. I'm a trapper. That's when I experience peace, when I'm away from people.
My mother went through a heart attack, and I guess peace when she got over it.
Illegal activities?
In the mountains, or like riding my horse and going real fast.
Peace is watching my little baby daughter sleep.
I think I've experienced the most peace in a West African refugee camp.
Well, lately, not so much, but I think, yeah, I have experienced peace in my life. Probably one time at camp, I was sitting on top of this mountain. There's this beautiful view, just all these beautiful trees and lakes everywhere. I think that would probably be the time I've been most at peace in my life.
Standing on the cliffs of Moher in Ireland.
Probably when I went to India. I experienced peace in my life when I see my family. That's the most important thing is
every day, because my boyfriend loves me.
When I became a Christian,
Christmas is the time of peace, except for like shopping and the chaos and stuff.
Around Christmas time, I always feel really peaceful. It's a really good time of year.
Right now. Because I'm almost done my shopping.
I guess when I've been just kind of focused on God and not letting everything else in life stress me out. So I'm not at finals right now, no.
I never experienced peace in my life.
Like specifically, what do you mean, like really? Getting my ear pierced?
No, man. There's always something going on. Everything. There's always chaos going on. I think the closest I've ever came to peace was probably in Korea in the gym. Just going to the gym every day and like, I don't know, it was a weird sense of community because I couldn't speak any Korean and they couldn't speak any English. But we had a blast, you know, and everyone got along famously. It's always a fight, man. Always a struggle. Every day.
I've known peace, like, pretty much all my life because of I know God, and that gives me peace.
Every morning when I wake up next to her.
I don't see any war here, do you? I don't know. My life's pretty peaceful. Don't really get into too many fights or arguments, or don't really have to defend myself physically on a daily basis.
Before the age of 4?
Usually at the hardest times in my life. Yeah, and I think that's grace. Yeah, you realize what your priorities are and you seem to connect with people on a more real level when you're in hard times.
At least from the sounds of that clip, not a lot of folks finding it, however they might define it. Definitions of peace that you can find online, the normal non-warring condition of a nation, group of nations or the world, an agreement or a treaty between warring or antagonistic nations or groups, a state of mutual harmony between people or groups in personal relations. the normal freedom from civil commotion and violence of a community, cessation of or freedom from any strife or dissension, a state of tranquility or serenity. I can remember one Christmas, Chad mentioned the manger scene. We have a couple of those that we set up around the house, and my wife was busy decorating and putting things in their proper place. And one of my sons, who shall remain nameless, he is here this morning, but he shall remain nameless. You have a 50% chance. He's a fidgeter and often just has to have something in his hands, picks things up and puts them down and picks them up and plays with them and puts them down. And he's fidgeting with parts of the manger scene as my wife is setting it up and drops the piece that he has, which happens to be the baby in the manger, and it shatters all over the floor. And I hear my wife at a less than normal calm voice, "You broke the baby Jesus!" That was not peace. We're on the return flight from Senegal, and as we are approaching Washington, D.C., the flight attendant's voice comes on, over the intercom and lets us know that we're going to begin our descent into D.C. And I think we were 15 or 20 minutes out. And shortly after that announcement, there was a little boy somewhere behind us. You could hear him asking one of his parents, "Are we down yet? Are we down yet?" And in the space of probably that 15 or 20 minutes, I'll bet he asked him that 15 to 20 times. "Are we down yet?" Never heard a parent's response. Everybody around is listening to this little boy. And then we touched down. And there was silence for just a moment. And then the little boy started singing, "Jesus Loves Me." So, how do you define peace? What brings you peace? It's the third of four traditional Advent themes that we are considering together. And similar to what I proposed about hope last week, I just think that the longing for peace that we see on a worldwide scale, I think that longing is built into the fabric of what it means to be fallen people living in a fallen world. It's what I call a residual longing. It's been hanging around since the garden. It's left over from that lost garden experience. It's in us. There is a longing to live with a sense of peace that we were created to have, to live with, and to live in. Genesis 2 tells us that Adam and Eve were placed by God in a garden where they lived in His presence, where they walked with God. They enjoyed intimacy with Him like you and I can't even begin to imagine. Think about the things in your life that cause you unrest, things that cause discouragement, things that contribute to concern resulting in a lack of peace in your life. Imagine your life without those. Some of you are thinking, "Oh, I try. Trust me, I try." Imagine your life without those things. That's the lost garden experience. Because the things in this life that cause us concern, that cause discouragement, that cause struggle, that result in a lack of peace both inside and around us, they are the result of sin. Just the presence of sin in a fallen world and in the garden. At least for a short period of time, there was no sin. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word peace, but my friends, that is peace. Capital letters, peace. That's the peace that I think everyone is searching for, whether they know it or not, whether they define it that way or not. So on this third Sunday of Advent, I want us to read together a portion of the Christmas story, this time from Luke's gospel. Luke begins this story, it's familiar to us, I'm sure, by telling us that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. They were required to register because Caesar had put out an edict. He wanted to take a census. He wanted to know how many people were living in the kingdom. And so they journeyed, Mary and Joseph, Mary quite pregnant, ready to give birth to their son. So let's stand and let's read together from Luke's gospel. Together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." My brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, go ahead and be seated. Let's go and see what this angel has told us about. He's announced peace. Peace has been born. Now, I want you to just imagine something with your neighbor for just a minute or two this morning, okay? Here's what I want you to do. You're going to imagine that you are among the shepherds that were out there on that hillside. Now, you have just heard and seen something incredibly stunning. You've just been told by an angel, which you don't see on a daily basis, I presume. You've just been told by an angel that the Messiah has been born. The anointed one, God's promised deliverer, has been born. And then to put a stamp on that announcement, suddenly behind that one who has brought the announcement appears a gazillion more angels, and they are proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You are a Jewish shepherd. You've just heard two very important concepts linked together: Messiah and peace to those on whom God's favor rests. All right. Ask your fellow Jewish shepherd neighbor, what did you hear in those words? What did you hear in those words? Messiah and peace to those on whom God's favor rests. Go ahead. Ask your neighbor. Okay, you Jewish shepherds. What'd you hear? What is the spin that you put on the announcement that you've just heard from the heavenly hosts? What do you hear? Okay. Nicely done. Thank you. Kind of in character there. I like that, Jill. Thanks. All right. What else do you hear? My, we are quiet this morning. Sydney. Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. They are God's chosen. They are favored. They have been. Yeah. Good, good. Trace. Yeah. 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 A longing for the good old days. They're coming back. The good old days are going to return. You know, I think the shepherds are just like us. They are as human as we are. And as Therese mentioned, they're chafing under the rule of the Romans. And there is no love loss between those groups. And they are eager. They are eager for God's deliverance. They are the people they've known for hundreds of years, that they are people upon whom God's favor rests. And when they heard those words, they must have thought, yes, God's people, the Jews, maybe something like, good, finally, God is going to do something about those filthy, stinking Romans who tax us and lord their greatness over us and treat us like we are less than. After all, we are God's people, the people upon whom His favor rests. We have been for hundreds of years. Finally, the time has come, and we have been waiting a long time for this. Now, fast forward at least a year, perhaps 2 years. Many of you know from the rest of that passage in Luke 2 that King Herod passed an edict that all the boys 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem and in its vicinity should be killed. What now? What are those shepherds thinking about that peace now? What if one of them had a little boy that age? Or a nephew? Or a grandson? Hey! I thought this Messiah was bringing peace to his people! This is just the same old stuff that we've been facing for hundreds of years! They're not the only ones who have ever thought that way. Come to think of it, if we don't understand the peace that the angel is announcing, we can think that way too. Maybe subtle, but we can fall prey to that thinking that we referenced last week, the idea that Jesus is the answer to all of life's problems that confront me. Believe in Jesus. All those things that contribute to a lack of peace in your life, they will go away. Didn't for them. Hasn't for countless brothers and sisters around the world through the centuries. And it doesn't for us. Believe in Jesus and you will have peace. Yes and no. Depends on how you're defining it. So let's get some clarification here. And we'll take it from Romans chapter 5. Jeff's going to read the first 4 or 5 verses of Romans chapter 5. Listen closely to what the Apostle Paul has to say. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
Thank you, Jeff. Man, did you hear that? Just write down Romans 5, the first 5 verses, and go home and reread that again this afternoon. Amazing how Paul links those themes that we've looked at so far together. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about the peace that the angel proclaimed to those shepherds that was coming with Jesus. And he answers the question, who are the recipients of that peace? Those upon whom God's favor rests. It's those, according to the apostle, it's those who have been justified through faith, through believing in Jesus Christ. Justification is that miraculous act of God that both makes and declares a sinner righteous. It makes and declares a sinner no longer guilty of sin. Now, 500 or 600 years before the birth of Jesus, before those angels made that announcement, the prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus' life and death. And he said, the punishment that brought us peace was put upon him. Now, when Isaiah spoke those words, he would have been speaking them in Hebrew. Shalom. It's a word that really has very little to do with the circumstances that are outside of us. It starts and has a whole lot to do with what's going on in my own life. What do I hear? What's going on in my head? And how do I respond to the circumstances of my life? Shalom carries with it a sense of wholeness, healing, well-being. Peter, another Jew, speaks of Christ's death this way. He says, by his stripes, we have been healed. The sense of life that was going in the wrong direction has been redirected and has been restored. By his stripes, we have been healed. And the word that Peter uses there is one that is often referred to in the context of relationships, restoring relationships, making broken relationships right. The peace that Jesus brought, and here's the point, the peace that Jesus brought and the peace that was being announced by that angel really didn't have any impact on the circumstances and the things that we so often want relief from in this world. The things that we think, I could just change this, if this will just go away, if I can fix that, I'll find peace. Those are small things, as huge as they can be in our lives. They're small things compared to the brokenness of relationship that people experience with their Creator. Broken relationship with the God who created us for himself. The peace that Jesus brought was the peace that comes from that primary broken relationship being restored. That cannot happen for anyone apart from faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. Miraculously, mysteriously cleanses us from the sin that separates us from God. Sin places us at odds with God. Sin always places people at odds with God. Think of it in terms of irreconcilable differences. There's just no way to put it back together. But God found a way. I like what Michael Horton, professor of theology at Westminster Seminary, says. He says, the gospel is not good instructions. It's not a good idea. It's not good advice. The gospel is an announcement of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus has made peace possible between a holy God and sinful humanity. Those that the angel referred to as those upon whom God's favor rests are those who recognize in Jesus, by faith, the opportunity to have their sins forgiven and to be restored to relationship with a God who loves them. Not only does he pronounce peace and reconciliation of a broken relationship, but God takes the next step and makes those who were estranged from him his children. God finds a way to fix what is broken and invites those broken people into the wholeness of his family. My friends, peace upon those whom God's favor rests. That is peace in a big way. Just a little yahoo, perhaps. Yahoo! Man! We know that the word gospel means good news. We talk about the good news of Jesus often. Do we really understand how good the news is? Brothers and sisters, when you have peace with God, that is, when you have a harmonious relationship with the one whom you were created for, there's really only one thing that remains, and that is to live out that relationship of peace that you have with God. Here's a little quick quiz for you as we come to a close this morning. You remember, we spent a couple of years studying the Sermon on the Mount, that Magna Carta of the Kingdom of God. And in the first few verses, known as the Beatitudes, there's a description of the life of a person who will be called a child of God. Anybody remember what that is? The person who is a peacemaker is called a child of God. The language that Jesus uses there is that it is God's people who are living as peacemakers. They will be seen as God's people. They will be identified as God's people. So let me just send you away this morning with two quick truths. I think it's important in this season where much talk of peace comes at us from a lot of different directions, we need to hear this. Truth number one, peace on the earth is not God's responsibility. Jesus did not come to bring peace on the earth. He didn't come to bring the ceasing of wars, the ceasing of strife, and the ceasing of violence. Jesus came so that the core issue of those things could be taken care of, and that is the human heart that stands in rebellion against God. Scripture points to the end times. Ultimately, God is someday going to restore and to make new all those things that are broken. But if we're honest about what we read in Scripture, there sure seems to be a huge indication that things are probably going to get worse before they get better. Jesus came to bring peace to the people who live in the midst of that. Don't be disillusioned or confused with Jesus and the promise of peace at Christmas time. He did not come to bring peace on the earth. He came to bring peace to the inhabitants of the earth. He makes relationship possible between God and people. And truth number two flows right out of truth number one. If we really understand it and embrace it, then peace on the earth suddenly becomes the responsibility of God's people. Those upon whom his favor rests. Think about it. Jesus' mission on earth was to make peace possible between God and humanity. And that was the reason that he came to earth. And then shortly before leaving, he told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." What a statement! Jesus is talking about the relationship of intimacy that he shares with his Father. And it was out of that certainty and that intimacy of relationship that Jesus lived his life. And he calls his followers to do the same, because his death and his resurrection makes it possible for those who follow after Jesus to be justified by God and to live life as peacemakers. Praise team, why don't you come up and prepare to lead us in response this morning? My brothers and sisters, when we think in terms of peace, not only in the Advent season, Christmas time, but at any time in life, when you think in terms of our responsibility as the people of God, my relationship with God, your relationship with God, if you are a follower of Jesus, has been restored. And as Jesus lived out of the confidence and the strength of that relationship, so we too, by the presence of God's Spirit in us, have the ability to live our lives as peacemakers. Suddenly that means I'm not as important as I thought. What becomes important to God's people is those who've yet to know God's peace in their lives. Let's pray. Father, peace means different things to different people. Depending on the circumstances that they find themselves in, some it's a lifetime struggle, some it's just a moment, some it's a broken relationship, some it's an unfortunate circumstance, some it's an accident. Peace means different things to different folks. God, we want to be a people who understand that regardless of the definition of peace that others may operate under, what we know is that true peace, real peace, that sense of certainty, that sense of unshakableness, that sense of shalom, that sense of it is well with my soul, is found in Jesus. And so we come on this Advent Sunday morning and we thank you for the peace that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Oh God, may that peace flow through us and out of us so that those who observe our lives will see a people who, in the midst of difficult circumstances, know that it is well with their soul. And may they be attracted to the gracious God who gives that peace, we pray in Jesus' name.